I can't tell you with any certainty whether the stock market is in a bubble, and neither can anyone else, including economics gurus and seasoned market veterans. I begin with this admission because I'm asked this question all the time, and it clearly has serious ramifications for my clients and my listeners alike. Now, even though we have decades of experience, expensive educations, and boatloads of information, at the end of the day, all anyone can do is to try to form a smart opinion about the possibility that the market is in a bubble, an opinion, not an objectively true conclusion. We can use market theories and history, circumstantial evidence, and data points to try to get at the problem of diagnosing a bubble. But the most important related questions, which stocks are in bubble territory, when will the bubble pop, how far down will it go, remain elusive. If I could answer these questions and predict their timing, I would mint a fortune for myself and clients, but there are good reasons why I'm not waiting around for that to happen. You know, it's common to hear people talk about such and such a bubble after the market crash as if it should have been obvious all along, based on crazy price-to-earnings ratios or some other simplistic metric like all-time high market values. However, in this case, hindsight may not be 20/20 as we think it is. So let's ask the question, do P/E ratios tell the whole story? You know, that price-to-earnings ratio thing you hear about. If you follow the financial media and its pundits at all, you'll hear a lot about how price-to-earnings ratio, or P/Es as they're known, are reliable indicators of stocks being either under or overpriced, or even in a bubble. Time and again, the market has defied the conventional wisdom about this approach to valuation. There are a myriad of examples of publicly traded stocks with very, very high P/E ratios and exploding stock prices. And looking at P/E alone, many would say such stocks may not just be expensive, but full-on bubble expensive. While its stock price will surely fluctuate, though, betting against a stock could be very risky, too. The lesson? Be careful about gauging bubbles based on P/Es. Now, as you've probably guessed by now, it turns out that bubbles are difficult to describe and to quantify. Harvard Business School economist Robin Greenwood has made a study of the stock market bubbles his academic focus. In an interview with Bloomberg.com's podcast Odd Lots, Greenwood talked about his efforts to come up with a working definition of a market bubble. He describes how most economists won't even use the B word because they're not convinced bubbles are an actual thing, or that they can be rigorously defined, which in academic circles amounts to the same thing. By looking at the history of market run-ups and crashes going back a century or more, Greenwood has tried to uncover a criteria, a concrete set of measurable features that sets bubbles apart from typical bull and bear market cycles. Needless to say, P/E ratios or historic high prices are not among these features. Among the most promising common denominators that he found in his research is something he calls acceleration and issuance. Acceleration refers to the increase in stock prices expressed as a rate of price increases. When stock prices rise by a certain amount, let's say 20% within a certain amount of time, let's say 1 year, and this is greater than the previous year's price increase, we can say that acceleration is getting faster. Greenwood argues that historic data show that unusually rapid acceleration is a signal confirming a bubble. Now, issuance is simply the number of new stocks entering the market via initial public offerings, or IPOs as they're known, and it also includes new stock creation from existing publicly traded companies. According to Greenwood, bubbles are marked by a big ramp-up in issuance as the market marches towards a peak. But not every acceleration causes a bubble because his research suggests that many market rises, which then crash, do not include these two characteristics and therefore don't deserve the bubble label. Confusing? You betcha. That's why it's so hard. Now, there are other features of bubbles which Greenwood is studying, some of which are harder to quantify because they're based on the sentiment of market participants. It's common to hear about bulls or bears capitulating or surrendering and selling everything at the bottom because the market has gone so far against their idea of the way things work. Greenwood talks about how sentiment among investment professionals shifts during a bubble's rise. starting out trying to avert away from risky investments by sitting on the sidelines to eventually, but reluctantly, joining in the risk-taking because of the intense pressure they feel from clients to miss out on the tremendous gains in the market. Needless to say, many of these pros and their clients have been burned badly by showing up late to the party, buying stocks near their price peak. Despite the successes he and his team have had in defining bubbles, he admits there are problems with using their criteria as a tool to spot bubbles as they're expanding. He claims that his approach results in calling a bubble on average 5 months before it actually peaks. Now, while 5 months seems like a reasonable amount of time to do something, betting in either direction could be a risky move itself. Another way to approach the problem of bubbles is to view them as an inevitable part of the long-term market cycle. Sir John Templeton came up with a pithy take on the subject. He said that bull markets are born on pessimism, grown on skepticism, mature on optimism, and die on euphoria. Jeff Sott, the chief investment strategist at Raymond James, offered a more detailed description of the market cycle on Minionville.com in 2013, and I'm going to quote and also riff a little bit on it as well. He wrote, "Stage one, shock and fear. Investors are deeply demoralized and they shun stocks. Rallies are shrugged off as fake recoveries, but eventually bear markets make a more decisive break out of or off of new lows. Stage two, guarded optimism. Market rallies are still viewed by many as a brief chance to sell and cut losses, but corporate earnings are start to bring dividend-seeking buyers back into stocks. Stage three, enthusiasm. Templeton's mature optimism, as he said. The economy actually starts to get better with the news backdrop going from bleak to better, which leads to greater enthusiasm and PE multiples and prices start to rise. Stage four, changing attitudes. Confidence builds, memory of the previous bear market are vanquished, and investors are carried away by feelings that nothing can go wrong. The widely held perception is that all stocks go up and all portfolio managers are geniuses. You also begin to hear stock tips from your barber or taxi driver, your waiter, and so on the hope that you will reciprocate and give them something as well. We start to see a lot of new IPOs and PEs blow out of proportion to averages as expectations for growth sizzle. Stage five, surrealistic phase. Exuberance abounds, new stock offerings are of questionable value, stock valuations changing hands at merely 200 times earnings, stocks no longer bought on anything resembling fundamental analysis, older financial advisors start to buckle under pressure to invest in the new paradigm growth, aka bubble stocks. Investors take out more leverage for speculation, businesses borrow via stocks and bonds and lines of credit to expand, consumer credit and spending soar, Wall Street bankers and brokers revel in wealth and power. And finally, stage six, disillusionment. The surrealistic phase ends with a bursting of the stock market bubble. The economic outlook proves to be not nearly as positive as been priced into stocks. Ultra-high PE ratio stocks are scorched first, then contagion spreads to blue chip and older stock names. Investors wrongly stay with losing positions, which actually could be sold at minimal losses, but investors cling to their losses when they should be jettisoned. All right, so to bring us back to today's market. Now, I speak to a large number of you, many of whom I hear from every day, concerned about whether the 2017 stock market is in a bubble, and I want to conclude with some recent comments by Warren Buffett on this topic. Despite the fact that PE ratios are undeniably high, right now they're 17.7 times projected earnings, which is the highest since May of 2004, and the fact that CNN Money's Greed and Fear Index has been flashing extreme greed in recent weeks, Buffett is convinced that stocks are still on the cheap side. The key, he says, is that interest rates remain extremely low. That makes stocks look like a good deal by comparison. If interest rates were 7 or 8%, these stock prices would look exceptionally high, Buffett said. We'll save explaining why he might be right on that point for another commentary, but suffice to say that betting against Buffett is not something we'd ever do lightly. So I'll continue to keep a wary eye on the whole situation for you, But remember, predicting a bubble is not really possible, so don't expect some bell to ring or the fat lady to start singing, announcing the end of this current bull market.